I went to DreamHack Atlanta yesterday and basked in the glow of modern esports stages. Plus, someone made a virtual reality headset for the Commodore 64 and it works. Tonight is November 17th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Living the dream like a champion. I went and watched champions be crowned at DreamHack. We'll talk about that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a competition-winning, I guess, edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history and maybe where they intersect. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you are not out catching Pokemons with your swords and your shields and your sheep that that say Wooloo or something, I don't know, and you're actually not caring that there's no national decks, welcome. We're over here at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from my chat room throughout the night. We're here every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So you can join in and make your voice heard. And you can also actually be doing that while catching whatever new Pokemans are in the new generation with the new Switch game that came out. Or you could be cutting up dudes with a lightsaber. One of the two. A little bit later on, I am going to be taking voice calls from our Discord. So join our Discord, vognetwork.com/discord. That is where we have a green room chat channel. And then during the second half of the show, if you're in there, I will pull you in and maybe we can talk and fill out the second half of the show. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, you can go to vognetwork.com and leave a comment on the podcast episode, which I will read on a future episode. And we actually did get a comment from E3VL really quickly about some of the stuff we were talking about last week. Dark Souls. We always make that joke because I guess that's a meme, especially with us people that I don't review games, but I'm kind of lumped in with the game reviewers. And so it's everything's the Dark Souls of everything. And he said that Death Stranding, Norman Reedus with his creepy fetus, the Dark Souls of walking sounds like a walking simulator with extra steps. It is what it is. I still haven't played it. I've just watched other people play it. And he also was talking about, because we spent some time actually talking about content creators, and we talked about Jarvis from the FaZe Clan, who got permanently banned from Fortnite. I have not checked to see if he has been unbanned yet or the situation has been lessened. I actually haven't been paying attention to the story since I talked about it last week. But he was permanently banned from Fortnite for using an aimbot in a YouTube video on a multiplayer server against actual people. And so they banned him, which is what they do. And he said, E3VL said in our chat, in our comment section, regarding the aimbot ban, there shouldn't be any special exceptions. I'm all for equality. If you're going to reduce the sentence, then you should do so across the board and not because one person is more privileged, such as popular, making money from streaming, than others. It sets a bad precedence when you play favorites. I agree. But I think that aimbotting should be a permanent ban. Questbuster says the Dark Souls of laundry. Fifth Dream Today says Death Stranding is in the same universe as Horizon Zero Dawn. It does use the same engine as Horizon Zero Dawn. And he also says Death Stranding is the Death Stranding of babies washing down by the river. That's not... Don't do that to BB. Don't do that to BB and the creepy fetus. That creepy fetus has a purpose. Yeah, so that was those were the comments. If you want me to read your comment, go over to vognetwork.com, sign up, and the forums are closed, but we still use the forums for signups and user stuff. But you can't post in our forums, but you can post in the comment section over at vognetwork.com. BobbyBlackwellShow.com. So this weekend, I was at DreamHack Atlanta. And if you don't know what DreamHack is, it's a very long-running LAN party. I think it started in 1994. It was actually in Europe. So it was one of the major LAN parties in Europe back in the early 90s. One of the ones I really wanted to go to as a kid, because I was around that time, even though I am only 29, I understand I'm talking about something that happened in 94, like I was old enough to know. But I'm really 29 plus. I really am. Back then, it was a LAN party and a demo competition. So programmers would create things for the Amiga and the PC and other computers to create demos of their talent. Basically, these programs that made those computers do things they shouldn't do. And DreamHack was one of the major competitions, the other being Assembly in Finland, The Gathering in Norway, and I think DreamHack was Sweden, I want to say. Not exactly sure. But it was one of those, and in that time period, I really wanted to go, and I never did. And then last year or 2 years ago, they announced that last year would be the first year that DreamHack was coming to Atlanta. And I'm like, yay, but it's like they don't even know what the demo scene is anymore, even though it still exists. There is still a demo scene out there. I'm not a part of it anymore. But DreamHack has nothing to do with that. But it's still a LAN party. And but now it is more of an esports heaven. It is one of the top destinations for esports players because there's so many competitions going on across many different games, the fighting game community and all that. And I went. So this is my second year going to DreamHack. And it's definitely not totally my scene. But it was down at the Georgia World Congress Center. And I went around and kind of took a look at what was going on. And I guess maybe this is also me being a little bit older, I never really got into the esports scene, which is kind of a shame. They had and for DreamHack, because this is esports, unlike other conventions in this same convention center, they actually have like metal detectors and bag checks and stuff because it's esports. But essentially, it is a big, huge convention hall, and that's all they had was this one big convention hall that just has a whole bunch of different stages with their own production trucks and crew. And lighting effects and games, and you basically could just walk through it down and be like, there's the fighting games, there's the shooter games, there's the open stage with this stuff, here's all the high-res studio games, because they're in Atlanta. But I never really got into esports, because when I first got introduced to competitive gaming, it was back in like the early 2000s, which I understand, I'm 29 plus, whatever. I met Smash Brothers players, and they were jerks. And I just assumed every esports player from then on were jerks. And they're not, but my lizard brain still says they are. So most of it's esports, and I don't really talk too much about that. Well, I do a little bit later on. One of the things they do also embrace are streamers. So they actually have an entire stream studio where they invite or where you can apply. And if you're a good enough streamer, you have a large enough following, they'll actually put you on their rig, on their internet connection, and you get to play, and people will know that you're going to be there. So your fans can come meet you at DreamHack, but then also you can go to DreamHack and still stream and get your money for bits and subscriptions and stuff, which is very important for streamers. That's why, if they're usually stream on the weekends, they don't want to go to weekend events because that's money out of their pocket. There's also other things that you can try there. There was a VR area, and it was run by Oculus. So it was all Oculus software, all Oculus hardware, no Vives or Indexes anywhere, and you could sign up to play it. They had a little arcade area, and it was actually it was smaller than the one last year. So there were some there was basically fighting arcade games, DDR, and like one or two other rhythm games. But not that many. It was very, very, very slim pickings, very small area, kind of in the middle of the show floor. You couldn't really miss it, but it was not as big as I kind of expected. There was an Initial D, so there was your racing game. They had Initial D. But then they have a little bit of an expo area, and I didn't walk through too much of the expo area because a lot of it was Artist Alley, and they don't like it when you film their stuff because they're trying to sell their art, and they don't want you taking pictures or filming it. So I don't do that too much. But Atlanta United, our soccer team, was there. They have a virtual reality experience where you do the pregame ritual of hammering the golden spike. So they had that, so you could try it. There were a lot of companies that were, you know, pimping PCs because these were all really high-end PCs that they were selling because these are esports gamers and they want the high-end rig for either their esports tournament or for their their streaming. A lot of streamers attend this. Alienware had a huge truck showing off stuff, and they were doing tournaments and had a crowd and were throwing things out. But they did show off a lot of games. They actually had an entire student showcase where students at local colleges and high schools and colleges were showing off their games. And they put them all kind of in this little U-shaped structure. A game we've talked about here on in the past, the Sync or Sync, which is the combination visual model rhythm action game. There it is on Twitch right there, which is your synchronized swimmer. So it's a rhythm game for that part. I did talk to the guy again. That was doing it, and I asked, you know, like, when is it going to come out, which is the thing they hate because everybody's so excited about it. And he did say, just to give you the full disclosure, I talked about it a lot on a previous episode because I saw it a couple weeks ago, and he said, yeah, we're looking to get this out before we leave college because they want to have this game out when they get out of college to go to get a real job in the industry. And then I asked him, and he did admit he's actually a freshman in college. So they're aiming for 2023 for that game to come out. So don't get too excited, but they are looking to at least get people following their Twitter account over at Amarant Games. So yes, when it's done, but they're aiming for 2023, basically. They're aiming for when they graduate college, and they're all freshmen in college right now. And that's only if they're on the 4-year plan. If they're on the 5-year plan, it could be 2024. They invited a whole bunch of indie games to showcase here. I actually did not really play any of them, but I did go through, and I've got video here on the Twitch feed. If you subscribe to our Twitch channel, you do get access to the VOD archives, and you can kind of just see me walk through. I'm basically just walking down the aisles, showing what things look like. A lot of VR games, especially one called Everybody's Sad. I'm like, I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be sad in VR. I don't want to be scared in VR either, which is why I haven't gotten the Doctor Who VR game, because there's jump scares because weeping angels exist in the Doctor Who universe. Spoiler alert. But there were a lot of games that were there, and it's great that DreamHack, it seems like it was a bigger presence than before, and it gave you something to do that wasn't necessarily, you know, competing or watching other people compete. So it was a small part of the expo floor. But it was very popular. Nobody seemed ignored. Every time I went through, there was usually at least one person playing a game, which is great for these indie games that are trying to, you know, get exposure out there, because it's really hard to get exposure when, you know, hundreds of games are released on Steam every week. Questbuster says the indie area looks great. Yes, and there were other indie games as well, not in the indie area. So there were some people that bought booths because you could buy expo booths. So they used that to promote their game. So other indie games could have this space where they didn't necessarily have to pay for it as much. One of the games they had a big thing for Everspace 2, and I don't know if these guys were actually in the indie mega booth area or if they were just had that booth area. But it was kind of, they had all the laptops out like in an Artemis, like a space, the spaceship simulator setup. So, there was always a lot of people at Everspace 2, so I didn't really get a chance to go up and look at them. But then you also have, you know, your corporate sponsors. So AT&T had a bunch of stuff. Chipotle was a major sponsor for whatever reason. But then once you get kind of out of the expo hall, they had free play games, your PC free play, but they also had your bring your own computer set up. It was open 24 hours, so people were basically sleeping under their desks. They had showers available on premises. And they did have a speedrunning stage So they actually were speedrunning games. Right now, when we were looking at it, it was Half-Life 2. It was No Reset Speedrun was the group that was doing it. But it's the Games Done Quick formula. They had somebody speedrunning game in the front. They had a couch of other commentators in the back. They had people going, people in the audience, and they were raising money for charity. At this point, Saturday afternoon, they had raised $3,000 for charity. So not as big as like your Games Done Quick. But it was kind of the same setup, just like right in the middle of the expo hall, which was kind of cool. They also did have tabletop gaming, so it wasn't just digital games. So they actually, you could rent out board games, and this is kind of standard here in like at Dragon Con or at PAX. Gen Con obviously has this, but they also streamed out board games from Gen Con. You can kind of see that they have more streamers, and they're sitting there and playing board games with all the key lights. And stuff. I don't know what channel they were doing it on. They do use OBS Studio, though, because I was able to peek over their shoulder at what they were running to do all the streams. So they were doing that. But then also they were independent board game makers and card game makers that were showing off their stuff. So really, even if you're not into esports, you can get a good day's worth out of what's going on at DreamHack. And you could even with these, especially the board games, you could actually buy them at the show, which is the same as kind of like Gen Con. So it was kind of like a mini Gen Con here. And then there were tables that you could just, you know, sit and play board games with other people. But the main thing is esports. So they had a whole bunch of different stages that focused on different things. That was the Tekken stage. There was a Brawlhalla stage, which is made here in Georgia. And then they had a Smash Brothers was going on at the time, and it was a competition you could join and play. What I'm showing here is the Rocket League stage, where actually this was the open stage, but it's really interesting. One of the things that I really find interesting when I'm watching these esports competitions is how much they actually use the stage to tell the game as well. So you'll notice here they actually have the score, and whenever somebody scores, they actually shine LED lights around, and they do kind of some neat stuff, and they always show the score. Even though the score is available on the screen you're watching, they actually use the stage to show more information about the game. So I thought I always thought this part was interesting. So even like when they do the countdown is reflected in the LED lights on the side of the stage to go into the next part of Rocket League before they all go for the quote unquote kickoff. So it was really interesting. And then also the interesting part about this is that apparently there were Twitch comments about because they were streaming this on Twitch about how the people in Twitch thought the people that were playing in the tournament were trash, and they could have been better. And so the host was even saying, and by the way, here's when the orange team won. So obviously everything turns orange and stuff. And actually when at the champion, there was pyro. When the champion was crowned from the entire thing, there was pyro. There's pyro from my cell phone camera, so it's not as high quality. But they actually talked about how there were people in their jam jams, keyboard warriors in the jammy jams, sitting at home complaining when they could have been here participating in the $5,000 prize pool. All you have to do, which is the thing about esports over like over like NFL or something, if you think you're better, get a team and show up and compete, and you could be part of that prize pool. What I'm showing here is a Counter-Strike tournament, and what's kind of interesting is like when one player was like on fire because he got hit with flames, his picture, they actually show each of the players close-ups of them, and their thing was on fire. And then when they get killed, they actually blank out their picture of the actual player playing, so you can actually see what everybody else is doing behind the computers. So one person got shot on there, and then I think this is about to be the end of the match. So like I said, it's really interesting how they incorporate the stage in these esports tournaments. And then when the round's over, all the lights go off, and it is a multisensory experience to see these. It's a lot different than just watching them on Twitch. And so DreamHack was a lot about that. And then obviously the most important tournament, I didn't get video of the actual tournament, but they had a rock, paper, scissors tournament. And the winner of the Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament actually had to play the stage. So the person on the stage there is actually throwing what they want. And then there's a flashing video. And they pause the video, and that shows what the stage is throwing. And so apparently, or unfortunately in this sense, the stage won. the stage beat the player, the choosing throwing rock paper scissors. But there was a whole rock paper scissors tournament going on and on the main stage, and there were actually people in the audience, and people were getting into it. It's on Twitch. You can actually find the replay of this on Twitch, and the person actually emceeing it there in the beer, that is Chef Lubu. He is one of the managers over at Battle and Brew here in Georgia. Funny guy, and he was the MC for the tournament. Friend of the show. We've actually interviewed him before when I actually did a broadcast from Battle and Brew way back before we were on Twitch. So DreamHack is definitely I'm glad I went. And Breakman says, rock, paper, scissors, a game anyone can win. That's awesome. That's actually why they do it. And they have coaches, and they were playing it up, because like if you actually watch their coverage of it, if you watch it, they actually talk about, okay, well, do you think he's going to throw rock first? Because this person, we've watched him the whole tournament. He never throws rock first. So what do you think? And they actually had like a color commentator who's like, well, you know, it's in his head. I've been watching him the whole tournament. And they treat it seriously. I mean, it's they're still having fun, but they treat it seriously. They have coaches that'll help you, and they'll be like, okay, well, here you should throw this. So I think it's a way to get people who maybe aren't at the level of the esports players that have their own jersey with their name on the back and stuff like that, to have a chance to be on stage and win something. I mean, that didn't have a big prize pool, but it was still something, and it was kind of an experience. So that was actually kind of fun. I caught the tail end of it. Because it's just rock, paper, scissors. That's it. And then everyone wins. So that was cool. So DreamHack, like I said, there is stuff there. I only went for a day, which is fine, because I'm not the target audience for the esports market, which is most of that convention. But going down for a day, it was worth it. I got a cool NFC wristband, because this is how you got in. You'd actually scan this and they wouldn't let you in areas. It was actually kind of neat how they did it, is that when you wanted to go in an area, they could scan this. And they had your name and picture, and they would be like, sorry, Bobby, you can't go in this area. And I'm like, damn it. Don't you know who I am? They're like, we know exactly who you are. You're Bobby, and you're not allowed in this area. Like, damn it. Metal Mayhem says, too bad there was no hogwash, turn you later. What I kind of decided, and we talked about some people, there needs to be, and there might be, given over 40 league. I know I'm only 29 plus, but hear me out. Give me an over 40 league, because really, esports is dominated by really young kids that have the fast reflexes. Those go away as you get older. And maybe have a Rocket League tournament for only people over 40. Because Rocket League's pretty easy to pick up compared to like Smite or League of Legends or anything like that. Maybe have that, and then you can get some more people in. Obviously, that wouldn't be the big prize pool or anything, but an over 40 league would be good. And not saying the worst player wins. I'm not saying that. But, you know, people with whose reflexes aren't as good as the young kids that are playing. But it's a real thing. And competitive gaming, it has finally come to America. It's been in Korea for decades. StarCraft was the official sport, national sport, in like 2001. We finally caught up in the last 5 years. And it's a real thing. And now college teams are having teams. High schools now have esports teams. I actually met with a high school teacher who's the faculty representative of the esports club, and you know, some of her players came down, it's a real thing, and people are starting to take notice and not just laugh at it. And you know, 10 years ago. Even just 10 years ago, a kid would be like, "What do you? You know, when I grow up, I want to play video games for a living." And everybody laughed. Now the answer to that is, "Well, how good are you?" Because you can now get college scholarships playing video games, doing esports. I mean, in that Rocket League tournament, both Clemson and Missouri, Clemson University and the University of Missouri, had their official esports teams competing in that. It's not an NCAA sanctioned sport, which is why they can win money at this stuff. But they had all the Mizzou branding and the Clemson branding and everything. So it's nice to see that also the parents are being more receptive of this, and it's becoming to be an actual career in the beginning stages Don't know what's going to happen when their reflexes go out, but maybe they'll become Twitch streamers and not use aimbots in Formdite. The Breakman says, a Gen X league, someone needs to make that happen. I'm sure it exists, but the thing is, I don't think those leagues go to, like, DreamHack. I don't think DreamHack would give them stage time. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody should do that. Questper says, how esports has changed since Carmack gave away his Ferrari. Yes. It's a lot different now. And now everything's an esport, it seems, or everybody tries to be an esport. That was yesterday. Today, I went to a place up here. It's in Roswell, Georgia, and it's called the Computer Museum of America. And it's I've talked about it before. I've shown it before, but it's got a lot of old computers. And today they did a retro game exhibit. They had some collectors come in and show off some retro systems, some emulated systems, and things like that. I didn't get much video of it, but there was one thing that caught my eye that I absolutely had to show here on the show, because obviously I had to talk about that. This, and it's the fact that somebody made a virtual reality headset for the Commodore 64. It's called VR64. And the way that it actually works, it has a screen inside that basically just takes the video output. You can actually kind of see that it's spliced a little bit. And then it's got a stereoscopic view through the viewfinder. And you're playing this game where you're trying to shoot zombies that are coming at you. And so you can kind of see that it's spliced there. It sends one video signal to the Commodore 64 monitor and one to this self-made VR headset. The way you play it is you have a trackball, and you use the F1, F3, F5, and F7 keys on the right side of the Commodore 64, and you're using the trackball to turn around, and then you're using the keys to shoot the things that are coming at you. Believe it or not, it actually works. Now, there's no head tracking, so you need to stay perfectly still in order to not get any sickness, motion sickness, so it doesn't track your head. But I was, and I'm stereo blind, which means I don't normally see in 3D. I do see in 3D with the Nintendo 3DS, and I do see in 3D with a lot of VR headsets. This one actually worked with my stereo vision. I actually did get the sense of depth of the things coming forward towards me. But it's all running on an unmodified Commodore 64. And so it basically, it just takes the video output, and it runs great. The other stuff plugged into that, it's a USB disk drive type of thing. So the red thing you see in this video is not related to the VR experience at all. That's just how they stored all the programs. But here you can see that he's turning the dial to turn down and look at other things and play the game. So it's awkward. Breakman says it looks awkward as hell. Yes, but it's just, it's something that I guess had to be done, and they did it. And I played it. It actually works. It's not something I'd play often. It's something I would definitely have for the novelty aspect of seeing other people being like, really, this is on a Commodore 64? But I thought it was really cool. And I just had to show it. I didn't think it was going to be there. I just showed up and saw the VR headset. And apparently, the dude like made a video of it somewhere on a forum. And then he's like, I'm going to make a couple of these. And this guy just bought it off of a Facebook post. And he shows it off at demos. So that was at the Computer Museum of America. It's in Roswell, Georgia. Go check them out. CMOA_Atlanta is their Twitter link. Go check them out because they've got a lot of cool stuff. I've shown some of their videos and stuff before. Let's talk about another project that probably shouldn't have happened. Google Stadia. I know. I was like, I'm going to wait till it comes out, and then I'll talk about it again. But then... You see, here's the problem. You want to know who's in charge of Stadia? Phil Harrison. What does Phil Harrison do? He destroys gaming brands. Like, he was with Microsoft when they did the whole Xbox One was going to be always online reveal and everybody hated him. And now he's at Stadia. And it comes out for founders and premier members Tuesday. We're less than 48 hours away from it coming out. I paid for the Founders Edition. I know I probably shouldn't have, but I did because I don't have a Chromecast Ultra. Now I get a Chromecast Ultra. Will I be able to play on Tuesday? No, I will not, because they haven't shipped them. They have not shipped the Founders Edition. They have not shipped the Premier Edition. which you can get now. You can buy the Premier Edition now. It'll come at the end of the month. I checked my order today. My Founders Edition is scheduled to arrive this Friday. So at least I might still be getting it this week. The Founders Edition comes with the blue controller. And I think a blue Chromecast. I don't know. But, and Questbrush says not shipped, but it's literally days away. I don't think they've shipped any of them. I honestly don't. I think they stated that the service is going to go live on November 19th at 9 a.m. Pacific. They will start shipping the Founders kits and Premier kits in order of when they bought them, in order, timeline order, on Tuesday. I don't think they've shipped any of them yet. So, one thing also, so there's a couple things that I was going to bring up, and part of it's part of that. But where I got this information was they did an AMA on Reddit to hype people up for the launch. And when an AMA Reddit gets articles all across the gaming landscape, you know it's not good. Polygon reports that Google is doing this AMA session on Reddit, and Stadia will be missing some key features on launch day. They will start rolling those out as soon as 1 week after launch, according to the developers. At launch, players will not have access to an achievement system, but achievements will be saved and recognized when the system launches shortly after Stadia's release. Nor will Stadia support family sharing. Parents will be able to manage children's experience on Stadia with parental controls through Family Link, but can't share games. So in other words, you will have to, if you have two kids, you're going to have to buy the game twice for the kids. Developer said it's a high-priority feature that will launch in early 2020, so in about 2 months. Stadia will also not support Chromecast Ultra devices that don't come with the Stadia bundle at launch. So if you already have a Chromecast Ultra, you're not getting it. You can't get in. Only the ones the streaming platform ships with. The Chromecast Ultra is used to stream games to 4K streams. It's the only Chromecast device compatible with Stadia at launch. Google will update existing Chromecast Ultra devices over the air soon after launch. Google says that its approach with Stadia's launch is like how it does updates for Google Search, YouTube, and other services. Quote, a gradual rollout and continuous improvement, unquote, based on user feedback. No games with Stadia Connect, which is their multiplayer experience, will be available at launch. Developers said the first game with Steam Connect will launch before 2020. Games that support state share and crowd play, other multiplayer features, will be released next year. Likewise, Stadia Buddy Pass, which is a Founders Edition bonus, will be available 2 weeks after a user gets their bundle. Buddy Pass lets players gift Stadia to someone for a limited time. No accessibility features are planned for launch. Either developer said the team is working with game publishers to set standards for accessibility across all games on Stadia. And they said, quote, of course, there are many, many more cool new platform features on the roadmap. We're aiming to release the new stuff weekly after November 19th, unquote. So remember that, unfortunately, I've kind of figured out right now the only way to get on Stadia is to buy one of these bundles. The Founders Edition, I think, comes with three months of Stadia. I don't know if the Premier Edition does that as well. Next year is when you're going to be able to use Stadia without a subscription. And right now, there's no real difference. If you don't want 4K and you don't want the free game, which is Destiny 2, then you don't need a Stadia subscription. But you also can't use it yet without a Stadia subscription. I think they're soft launching it to subscribers only. But a lot of these features are not going to come out until that three-month period is done. I don't expect most of the features to be out by the time my 3 month subscription ends, and I'm not extending it as right now. Pod Culture says Premiere does come with a 3 month subscription. It does. This is why I have a chat. They can fact check me in real time. Thank you so much, Pod Culture. It does. The Premiere edition does come with 3 months of Stadia Pro. So there are 12 games that are going to be out on day one. Remember, all of these you have to pay for, except for Destiny 2, the collection. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Guilt, Just Dance 2020, Kine, Mortal Kombat 11, Red Dead Redemption 2, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Samurai Showdown, Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Thumper, and Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. Remember, you have to buy those games, but you don't need Stadia Pro to play them, so after 3 months, you can still play them if Stadia is still a thing. By the end of the year, they're also going to add Attack on Titan 2, Final Battle, Borderlands 3, Darksiders Genesis, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Farming Simulator 19, Final Fantasy 15, Football Manager 2020, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Grid, Metro Exodus, NBA 2K20, Rage 2, Trials Rising, and Wolfenstein Youngblood. Remember, you still have to buy those games. Those games are not, this is not Game Pass. This is not PlayStation Now. This is a platform to stream games. So you buy the game, and you can play it when you're on the internet. Questbuster says, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, you don't want that. As Sharon Matt says, Farming Simulator is serious esports. I think they did make esports out of Farming Simulator. It wasn't a DreamHack. I did not see it a DreamHack. I think I wasted my money, y'all. I'm having buyer's remorse. I also only got it because I do this podcast. So if I was not doing this podcast, I would not have bought that bundle. Because I could get a Chromecast Ultra at Best Buy right now for half the price I paid for Stadia. And SJ where Matt says, yeah, you're getting Chromecast Ultra. That's worthwhile. But yes, but I could have paid half and still gotten the Chromecast Ultra. Because I held one in my hands at Best Buy. I'm like, I'm getting one of these in a couple weeks. On November 19th. And Google's like, you're not getting it on the 19th. You waited a couple hours to get your Founders Edition. You don't get it till the end of the week. Questbuster says, how do we control everyone smashing our Stadia bandwidth? Let's have a funky, weird launch and delay our stuff. RK sounds good. XO19 was this weekend, though. And The Verge reports that Microsoft is expanding its Project xCloud preview today with the addition of 50 games. The software maker initially launched the xCloud preview with just 5 titles exactly a month ago, and now it's working with more than 25 partners to launch 50 games today. Titles include Madden NFL 20, Devil May Cry 5, Tekken 7, and Forza Horizon 4. This will give xCloud testers a lot more games to play, but also provide us with a better understanding of how the service will run for more demanding titles. So games like Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown, Soul Calibur 4, Devil May Cry 5, WWE 2K20. Is that what they were talking about with, you know, making games that test the hardware? Whole bunch of games, Just Cause 4, more Tomb Raider, World of Final Fantasy, Halo Wars 2, Ori and the Blind Forest, Sea of Thieves. Well, some of these are already available on xCloud. So, they're talking about bundling Project xCloud with Game Pass, which, honestly, Game Pass was the best $1 I ever spent back at E3. I have Game Pass Ultimate until 2022, and I am so happy. Their slogan is discover your next favorite game, and I'm like, yeah, The Outer Worlds. That was the next cloud thing. There was no reason I put those two stories back to back. You can draw your own conclusion. We're going to take a quick music break, and then if you want to jump into our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, jump into the green room, we can chat about something real quick. We can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, because I know other stuff came out this week that I didn't talk about. I didn't talk about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which is apparently the Dark Souls of Star Wars. I haven't played it, but that's what other people tell me. Or is it the Death Stranding of Star Wars? And then there's that Pokemans game that came out. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is Professor Shy Guy participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Professor Shy Guy put out a new cover of Roundabout by Yes. He put it up on his YouTube page. He's a chiptune artist, friend of the show. Had him on before. I played his new video on Twitch before we went on the air tonight. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be a musician. You can just be yourself. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Or if you want to do a video bumper, we have a couple of those. I'm kind of rotating through them. All you got to do is contact me, and then we'll figure out how we want to do that and stuff. So I'm going to look in chat or look over on our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, see if anybody is in the green room. We do actually have somebody in the green room. So we're going to go ahead and talk to this person. He hasn't called in a while, so we haven't heard from him. So let's see what he wants to talk about. Coming in here, Bobby Blackwell Show. You are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. This is Metal Mayhem.
Metal Mayhem. What's up, man?
Pretty good. I'll try to make this short and sweet just in case someone else wants to call in. I'm calling in about Stadia. Although I'm not personally planning on getting it, I do have concerns about it for those that are planning on getting it. It's kind of a twofold. I don't know if anyone consider these issues, but they are one. It's going to be a streaming service.
Yes.
Now there are plenty of people out there who have shoddy internet.
Yes.
For one reason or another.
Yes.
And plus, not only that, but lousy weather, be snowstorms, whatever happens, they'll pick out the internet.
Yeah.
Well, the internet's out. Guess what? You can't use Stadia. Not only that, but since you're streaming the game, what if at some point down the future, be it 3 months from now, a year from now, 3 years from now, this service goes under? You're basically not going to have
access you lose, to any game. Yeah, anything you paid for, you'd lose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so for those reasons, I'm getting Stadia. Now, say what you will about services like Steam or Origin or Uplay or whatever.
Right.
At least, A, you can download the game and store the games locally.
Yep.
And definitely with GOG, no matter what.
Right.
Even if GOG goes under, you still have your games. So
yeah, and that's one of the nice things about that, because unfortunately, like some games, if your internet goes out, you still can't play it. And I mean, like even single player games, because I know this hasn't happened to me, but it happened to Rob on OLR because The Outer Worlds just came out, and your save games apparently are stored in the cloud. So if your internet goes out, you can't get to your save game. So you can't go play The Outer Worlds, a single player game, without connecting to the internet to get your save games.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say that if I memory serves, going years back during the great PlayStation Network outage, there was one game that you could buy through PSN that would not work during the outage because of DRM, which we required to be online, which was Final Fight Double Impact, if memory serves. You cannot play it. Yeah, so that's another one.
Yeah, no, and I mean, there's the other thing that people were asking is because, like, if a game gets delisted off of Stadia, you already bought it. If they're not allowed to stream it to you anymore, what happens then? There's a lot of open questions. Now, that's why I think where xCloud, if, like, Project xCloud is kind of bundled like Game Pass, where you don't buy the games, and that way you can try the game without spending, because like my thing is not necessarily just about the bandwidth, although bandwidth is crappy in a lot of areas, especially in rural America, but there's bandwidth caps here. Like, so I have a 1 terabyte per month bandwidth cap. I can't download or upload more than 1 terabyte in a month, which with 4K video, Disney Plus has a lot of great 4K content that eats up bandwidth. And so I can only play Stadia games on Stadia for a couple hours in a month without having to pay overages. But maybe if I want to try a game, so this is where I like xCloud, maybe I can try a game like Gears 5 for about 30 minutes on Project xCloud. And if I like it, then I will say, hey, download the 90 gig game and put it on my system.
I might be comparing apples to oranges here. But I vaguely remember, give or take, about 10 years ago, there was hearing about a service that was comparable to Stadia, that did like a soft launch and quickly fizzled out. Yeah, I think it was called, I'm Live?
Yes, it was
like
On
that?
Live is what you're thinking of. And it didn't quickly fizzle out. It took them a couple years to fizzle out, but it did fizzle out. And it's the same thing where you had to buy the game, and then you could play it over their servers.
when that service first came out, I did tinker with it a little bit, and I'll try out some like demos or free trials or whatever you want to call them. And it was a neat concept on paper, but I came to realize some of the issues that I just pointed out to you at the top of this call, and I kind of figured, I'll just leave this alone. I'll stick to what everything else,
Right.
But anyway, I've taken up way too much of your time. I'm sure other people want to call, so I'll speak to you soon, all right?
All right. Thanks for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
Yep, you too. Take care.
So that's actually the only call. And because for tonight, which is thank you so much for calling in. If you want to call in, remember, VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can jump into the green room just like Metal Mayhem did. And we can talk about anything, and you can give your voice here on the Voice of Geeks Network. Bitstream Day says, On Live were the first service I know of where you could directly share video from your games. Yes, that was one of the things that they did. I had On Live. I never bought anything on it, but I loved the fact you could do demos and trials and stuff. And then I would go buy them on another platform and play them somewhere else. That's where I, that's where I wanted PlayStation Now to be. It was like, give me, let me play, the first hour of a game streaming. Especially, these games that are, 125 gigs or something like that. See if I like it. And then after that hour, I can go buy it and then, have it download and then manage my data caps that way. But that way I'm not downloading an 80-gigabyte game only to play it for an hour and a half saying, man, it's not for me. Well, now I've gone through 1/10 of my data cap for the month for a game I really didn't want. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. We like to check in with them and see what's going on. They had last week off live, but they actually still had a special show, and we aired it here. It actually the last premiere we could do on Twitch. But now they're here with us live. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Hi, it was on my end. Hi, how are you?
You didn't push the button.
You got to push the button. They're here now.
Sorry, a button was pushed that isn't usually pushed. We're a little rusty. It's been a little while since we've done these little throw calls.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, don't worry. I had tech difficulties earlier today, and I had to reboot some stuff on air. So
things happen.
It's going to be one of those nights, Rob.
let's hope it all ends on your show. Those problems.
I took all the gremlins and hoarded them for myself.
Thank you. The amazing and selfless Bobby Luckle.
So how was your weekend off?
It was great. I had a great time in New York City. And don't worry, you did not call me during the show.
Okay.
I always put my phone in airplane mode, so no awkward moment there.
Yes.
I can't say the same for the woman in front of me, but that's a whole other story. But the shows I saw were great. I was during last week's show, I was actually right in the middle of Moulin Rouge on Broadway. So Bobby texted me or
I texted you a picture of everybody pressing F for the Twitch premieres going away.
Yes. So we had a little bit on the recorded show that we did. We were pay respects to premieres going away. So Bobby texted me a picture and then he realized, oh, I shouldn't have texted Rob. He's in the middle of a show.
Well, I didn't know that until you mentioned it. You were like, yeah, right now I'm in the middle of a show. And I'm like, crap, 30 minutes ago, I just texted him.
But no worries. That's why the phone went in airplane mode. I thought I had.
Good. So I feel better now. Thank you.
Yes.
But
no,
you got
no
to meet up with YYR and Matt and some other VOG Network people.
I did. So one night I met up with SSJ100 Matt on Friday before his trip to Chicago, which unfortunately he had some real problems getting back. But he finally did get back with all the cold snap and snow and everything. But I got to see him on Friday night and we walked around. We walked to the Nintendo store. We didn't go in. But we walked around and we walked to Grand Central Station where we met up with YYR. And so we got to hang out with YYR for a little bit, kind of went over to Times Square. So, yeah, had a good time. And then the next night saw Rama and Giovedea from Anime Jam Session. So, had a lot of OLR hangouts / VOG hangouts this weekend. And Rama made fast friends, and Giovedea, both of them made fast friends with Victoria from Shaking and Crying. Yep. Because she was there too, and Rama kind of ended up fighting the crowds, not like actually fighting, but, you know, helping manage the crowd, shall we say, at the stage door after Frozen, because Victoria went in full cosplay, dressed as Anna from Frozen during the coronation scene. She has this whole dress that she made herself. And it was so, this is the crazy part. So apparently the guy who wrote the music for Beetlejuice, the musical, happened to walk by and see Victoria, took a picture of her and put it on his Instagram saying something to akin of, you don't believe what happens on Broadway.
Yeah.
So Victoria was getting noticed by a lot of people, apparently, all dressed up. She cosplayed to a Broadway show, which I give her mad props for doing.
Are we going to hear from Victoria again on Fog Network?
It's in the plans. I don't know about shaking and crying. I mean, it's just it just hasn't really gelled up for the two of us to be able to work together nicely, like recording time. There's obviously everything personal is great, or we wouldn't have gone on a trip to New York. But we're stewing on maybe an alternate idea right now. So stay tuned.
There you go. What was YYR's big announcement last week? Because I teased it on my show, but people on my show probably don't know what he's going to be doing.
No worries. So if you missed the taped OLR that is still available on our feed, if you want to go back and listen, I thought it was a good episode.
But
YYR did announce that he is making Super Multitasking. Oh, God, I'm going to mess up the name. I think it was Super Multitasking Turbo.
Versus Ultimate.
But it's a play on the fighting games from the 90s, obviously. So he's making a – yeah, Versus is in it because it's going to be a little more head-to-head. And there's going to be an actual 5-screen mode, which I think is going to be pretty cool. And he's adding some more little games into it. And so the game gets a nice little boost. The great thing is, if you already own the game, it's going to be a nice free built-in upgrade. So this is just something to kind of get the game a little more exposure as he presents it again at MAGFest 2020, which was his other big announcement, is that he is going to have a spot at MAGFest 2020 to be able to showcase it. So we're really happy for him. And I'm sure, Bobby, you had to have heard the part of the call where I suggested, well, if you're going to have a version with more screens, why not have a version with less screens? Actually, I think he said there is going to be a 3-screen version.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you just take it down to 1 screen and it can be Bobby Blackwolf mode?
Yeah.
And then the idea came up, it would just be tasking at that point. So it's Bobby Blackwolf's tasking. And he seemed to think the idea was really funny. So I may have gotten you in the YYR canon, Bobby.
Finally. We'll see. I was the bad guy in Bungie Fairtosting because he said it was Wolf News. And so I'm like, finally, maybe I won't be the bad guy. Maybe.
No, I think you'll be the simple guy that enjoys simple things.
I have a simple life.
Simple life.
So what are you guys going to be talking about here on the show tonight?
Ooh, we're going to talk a little bit about X019. A lot of Xbox news this week. We don't get into Microsoft side of things a lot here on OLR. So we're going to talk a little bit about that at the top of the show. Talk about some of the things they announced and get into that. I know you talked a little bit about xCloud, but we're going to elaborate on a lot of the big announcements they made. So it's pretty exciting. And then we'll talk about our impressions on Pokemon Sword and Shield. And Dark Sakura has some impressions of Death Stranding. So we're going to talk a little bit about all that tonight.
Awesome. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much. I missed you guys.
Missed you too. It's nice to be back on like a regular schedule now.
All right. OLR is up next.
Thanks, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come on in and join the show directly. Like I said before, if you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Or if you want to do a video bumper, go to our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackwolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackwolf, twitch.tv/BobbyBlackwolf if I decide to stream. That is where you can find me. Also, you can submit feedback on the episode page over at vognetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters and the wonderful people that are part of our community and help promote us throughout the night. So one of the things I like to do is if you have a Twitch account, you can auto host, or you can host us, and that actually helps. Even if you don't stream yourself, hosting us on your personal channel helps with our numbers. And so we like to thank the people that are doing that right now. So thank you so much to XLink777, Collision28, PodCulture, Bull7708, Fifth Dream Today, Spyro Jonathan, Mr. Rizos, Tiger Claw, ActDeft, Rob Roberts, Orange Wright, 13X Forever, Anime Jam Session, Lightning Fox 111, Wayne in 12, SJ10 Matt, Johnny Woofy, Misty OLR, Veronica Isabel, Dark Tutsia, Travis Donovan, YYR57695. Sia Tiberi, Dragon Con Digital Media, Critical Myth, AJ Twist, Questbuster, Loki OLR, Pixel Pocus, VG Realness, and Nifty 805. Also, thank you so much for the follow, Recon Elite, and thank you so much for PodCulture, who has resubscribed for his 8th month. Thank you so much. We appreciate all of that. So I will be back next Sunday night. Talking to maybe having Stadia. Maybe I'll have a Stadia Founders Edition and not be able to use it. I don't know. We're going to find out next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.
Holes.